Groovy. So welcome to the Priestcast. This is kind of, we have no notes or no plans on what we're doing, but we thought we'd get with you and talk about Invincible Shield a little more, among other things. So we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants on this one. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing quite well. I've had a busy few weeks and got another busy couple weeks coming up. How have you been, dude?
Good. Yeah. Same shit. All work, no play. Makes Jay a dull boy.
Yep.
And I'm a dull boy and a dough boy. And just hanging out, doing a little yard work today. Because the spring has sprung in North Idaho. So, week before, it was snowing. And now it's 68 degrees right now. So our yard is a friggin' mess, you know, shit, winter shit all over. As soon as the snow melts, then you find, you know, little piles of dog shit and whatever. A lot of leaves, a lot of wet leaves. I don't know, random shit. So we were going around raking up the leaves, picking up the dog shit, getting my barbecue stuff ready. Because I love to barbecue. I mean, that's my passion. I love to, especially smoking meat, you know, long cooks. So I have a bunch of equipment that I put up for the winter because I'm a wimp. I mean, you know, real
negative 10 degrees is not being a wimp, man. Negative 10 degrees is real goddamn cold.
Yeah, that's true. But still, I mean, I should be out there at least, you know, grilling a steak or something if it's like above 32 degrees, but I'm just too fucking wimpy. I have to have the sun out. I have to have it at least 60 degrees. So that's fun. I'm getting all that stuff ready and checking my charcoal. I'll probably need some new charcoal because I think it got wet over the winter despite my best efforts. So yeah, all that stuff. I mean, it's a big deal. I'm real serious about it. Serious about my smoking meat and barbecuing. So gotta head to probably Walmart, get all my equipment, and so that's fun. That's my favorite thing to do, is to get barbecue equipment and then smoke some ribs and good shit like that. Actually, there's the Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association is in town having a big barbecue shindig today, which I was gonna go to, but I'm too lazy. So my dream is to have a barbecue team, but I'm poor.
Okay.
But it looks like fun, man.
Yeah,
have a killer barbecue team, go to competitions around the area. That is my dream, but shit, I can't even afford lot rent, much less. Yeah, because that's an expensive hobby, dude.
Yeah, no kidding.
Expensive hobby. But anyway, that's my story. So yeah, just fucking around. You're you've been to a couple shows recently.
Yeah. So besides work, which has been extra long recently, I did make it out to two different concerts just before we recorded with Sam. I went to go see Vader, Inhuman Condition, and Origin. Origin's a tech death band. They were really exciting for about four songs, and then everything just became the same over and over again. So it was like, I got bored with them. Vader was awesome as always, but the winner that night was Inhuman Condition. They are a thrashy death band or a deathy thrash band. They have death metal vocals, but the riffs are very thrash like. So I enjoyed the shit out of them. They were amazing. I was there with Side Eye from Twitter. And he's a big Inhuman Condition fan, and I could see why. They were absolutely brilliant. So then 2 weeks later, I went to go see in Orlando Municipal Waste, Ghoul, Necrot, and Dead Heat. Dead Heat was almost a nu metal thrash band. I did not like that combination whatsoever. They were worse than nu metal thrash band sounds. I mean, just that idea is awful. After Dead Heat it was Necrot. And I had seen Necrot late last year, and the singer was drunk off his ass. And so they didn't play very well. This time around, he was sober, and they sounded like a completely different band, and they fucking ripped my face off. They were so good. Just impressed as hell by them. And then Ghoul came on. And Ghoul is like the thrash metal version of Gwar. If I was to simplify what they do, the thrash metal version of Gwar. But they're better than Gwar. And they're just awesome. And they have like paper mache costumes and creatures that come out on stage, and they shoot shit into the audience. And that was the band that I really, really wanted to see. Loved them so much. Absolutely incredible. Drive home was miserable. I actually didn't even wait to see Municipal Waste because it's like a 2-hour drive home. Well, the 2-hour drive home was actually a 3-hour drive home. So that was miserable. And I'd seen Municipal Waste a year or so ago, so I wasn't like desperate to see them again. They're not one of my favorites anyway. So the two bands I wanted to see were fucking brilliant, and that was awesome. And then in 2 weeks from now, I'll be in Atlanta seeing Restless Spirit. Episode 5 of our podcast had Paul Aloisio from Restless Spirit on it. And I am so looking forward to that. I can't stop thinking about going to that concert. It's going to be a cool drive up there. It's like 6 hours. Get to meet some of my Twitter buddies, and I get to see one of my favorite bands perform live. And yeah, I'm literally jumping out of my skin with excitement about this concert.
Nice. Yeah, you got a hotel all ready to go. You got your new car, your new used car, new to you car. How's that working out, by the way?
Oh, it's great. I'm happier than a pig in shit about that car. It's fucking fantastic.
You're going to be styling going up to Atlanta, man.
Yeah.
New car, windows down, heavy metal blaring. It's going to be killer. Right. So who you meeting up there?
Heavy metal hippie, a guy named Rich, and then Elders God's Doom. Both of those guys have been Twitter buddies of mine for like, I don't know, 3 years. They were one of the first people that I met when I first got into metal Twitter. And Rich might be one of the sweetest people online. He is nothing but nice. He's written a book about the gentrification of the United States. So obviously he's smarter than anybody could be. So I'm super excited to see him. And then the Elders God's Doom is a standout of honor on metal Twitter. He defends people. He's just, I have such a great deal of respect for him. And so I'm thrilled to death to meet those two and to meet him at a concert. And we're going to just enjoy the shit out of it, get some drinks and listen to some really good stoner doom metal.
Nice.
Yes.
Man. Yeah. I can see why you're so excited about that. And you, you hung out with our boy, George. Not Boy George, because that'd be weird. But
yeah, I got to see George, the previous host of this podcast. By the way, he has a new podcast out, Metal Planet, with his first episode just came out with Ads from Australia, Big Ads, Adam. Incredible episode. Listen to it, download it, subscribe to it. George's, it's going to be a little bit different than Priestcast. Obviously, he's onto a completely different thing, and I love the idea, and I'm excited for every episode that comes out on that. But meeting George, God, he's 10 times cooler in person than he is online, so that says a lot.
Totally jealous. Yeah, he's headed to Hell's Heroes. I think that's next weekend.
Yeah.
or this weekend, maybe probably.
I think it's next weekend.
Yeah, with Melissa, who's been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun for them. Queensryche, Candlemass, Night Demon,
Candlemass
Sodom.
Would be the band that I'm most excited about to see there. Yeah, I'm jealous of him seeing Candlemass with the after many, many, many years and many different singer changes, they finally went back to their original singer for the last two albums. So this guy was basically a session musician for the first album. He was like hired just to do the vocals, and he wasn't even part of the band. And he nailed it on Epicus Dumicus Metallicus. Just a fantastic album. And he's been my Candlemass singer. And they've gone through, I think, four. They could have been through five or six other singers in the meantime. And so they finally got him back for the last two. And he's performing at Hell's Heroes with them. And I'm just super jealous of George. But I'm going to go to Maryland Death Fest instead of Hell's Heroes. So I'm going to be excited about that.
So what's that all about?
Maryland Death Fest is actually in May, and that's a gigantic death metal festival with 100 bands, something like that, some of which you rarely ever see in the United States. So I'm specifically going there for two bands, Bloodbath, which is a death metal, old school, brutal death metal super group made up of guys from Catatonia and Paradise Lost.
Oh, right down your alley, man.
Oh, yeah. If I listen to death metal, it's Carcass Entombed or Bloodbath. And then My Dying Bride is performing. So I'm seeing my holy trinity of bands, Restless Spirit is now in there, but we'll keep it to the other three, is Paradise Lost, Catatonia, My Dying Bride. So
there you go.
Yeah,
all I'm seeing right there.
A member of every band. So I'm super excited about that.
You got a lot of shit coming up, dude.
Yeah.
A lot of reasons to be excited.
Oh, hell yeah.
That is awesome. I'm just excited I get to barbecue. The weather's getting better. I don't do much. I don't get out much. And the priest isn't even scheduled to come anywhere near me yet. I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will, but so I'm waiting for that. But shit, I mean, they're booked up through summer. So I don't know, might not be till next year.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully soon.
Yeah.
Getting kind of antsy. But so, Priest started their tour last week. So that's interesting. We'll talk about the set list and the changes therein. Different set list every night, which is really cool. Funneling songs in and out. So that is cool. Looking forward to that. A lot of people on Twitter have posted videos, and they sound good. They sound good, mm-hmm. man. Of course, they're the Priest. So, yeah, we just had Martin Popoff on. Our last episode.
That was an adventure.
That was an adventure. First of all, Martin is the nicest guy in the world.
Oh, so nice. So smart. So nice. So kind. So accommodating. I was impressed as hell by him.
Yeah. It's weird. I just, one night I was drinking some whiskey and said, oh shit, we should have Martin Popoff on the show. So I emailed him. Just out of the blue, he doesn't know me from Adam, but he's like, sure, yeah, I'd love to come on. When do you want to do it? You know, and he offered to host the whole thing.
Should have taken him up on that.
Yeah, should have taken him up on that because the fucking diva. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Does not do Skype. So he made that abundantly clear after we made all the plans. I said, oh, hey, I emailed him and said, hey, we'll send you a Skype invite. And so he emailed back and said, I don't do Skype. I hate it and it's corrupt and doesn't work. So I'm like, all right. So but he said it in a nice way. I'm putting words in his mouth because he is the sweetest guy in the world. But anyway, so we had to go with Zoom. But the whole process of emailing him back and forth and talking to him and setting the whole thing up could not have been better. Just so accommodating, so willing to help, you know, went above and beyond offering to host the whole thing, you know, as far as Zoom, because he knew we had never done Zoom. So he offered to host the whole thing. I didn't take him up on it because I was already asking a lot just to have him on the show. But I mean, you'd think he's a guy you've known all your life. Just it's so easy to deal with, just so easy to talk to, treats you with great respect, has no ego whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Just such a sweet guy. So, anyway.
Yeah, so as we were recording, I'm not even sure I told you this side of it, but as we were recording, I noticed that at 20 minutes in, it said I have 10 minutes left of recording because we didn't do the paid Zoom. I thought we'd just record like we do on Skype. Well, there's a 30-minute limit to the recordings. And so I see this, and you're doing a great job hosting with Martin. And I'm like, okay, how do we get a paid version? So I go in, I pay the $15 or $16 to get a paid Zoom account, but it doesn't activate immediately. So the recording just cuts short. And I didn't give you guys any warning because I'm trying to handle this in the background. And so finally, it was like it cut off, and then I tried to restart it. It was stupid. I go out and I'm texting you, and you're emailing or texting with Martin, and we get it worked out. But now we don't even know if that first batch got recorded, and it was 30 minutes. That was all the talking that we did about Martin to Martin. So that was quite important, and. So he starts recording. He sets up his own meeting. He starts recording because he's just a fucking nice guy.
Yeah.
And so we finished our podcast. We cut, you know, we do a little bit of like, hey, this happened, blah, blah, blah. Move into it. Get what we want out of him. He's running up on a hard deadline. We end off. We still don't know if the first part of it is in my, if I was able to actually have it. Turns out we did have that first part, thank God, and he sent us the recording for the second part, so he smashed them together and sent it out yesterday.
Yeah, it was quite the fiasco. We're just sitting here all talking, having a great time, great interview. I'm thinking in the back of my head, Jesus, I'm just a fat idiot doing a stupid podcast, and I'm sitting here talking to Martin Popoff, and it's actually going really well.
Yeah,
I'm thinking in my head, this is killer. This is going to be great. And then poof, gone. Gone. Right mid-sentence, man.
Yep.
Thinking, oh, shit. And then, excuse me. And then we pretty much had come to the conclusion that whole first part was gone. Never to be retrieved again. Because as soon as that happened, Martin emailed me and said, oops, I forgot to tell you. Zoom has the first time you use it, unless you have an ongoing paid account, it only gives you a 30-minute trial. He said, yeah, I probably should have mentioned that. So, and then he said, look, I didn't save it. I just went, once it shut off, it just went poof. Those were his exact words. It just went poof, and it's gone. So I hope you were able to save the first part that we did. And, of course, on my end, poof, it was gone.
Right.
But so I had absolutely nothing on the screen, and I think that same thing happened to Martin. Yeah. And then Jeff texted me. You texted me and said, I didn't get the recording. It's gone. So we went into the whole, and Martin was such a nice guy. He said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. So he sent us a Zoom invitation and hosted the second part. But we're thinking the whole time that the whole first part was gone. And he was on, like you said, a hard deadline. So he was going to do an episode of The Contrarians, I think. So we got all hooked up. Came back and he said, okay, forget about the first half. I mean, he like put on his hat and said, and took over and said, this is what we're going to do, Jay. Just talk about Priest. We'll talk about Invincible Shield and we'll get out of here. So I was like, yeah. Cool. Excellent. So that's what we did.
Utter professional. This is a guy who's been there, done that for every conceivable scenario, and he knows what to do.
Yep. Yep. He took the bull by the horns, did this, boom, boom, and go right into it.
Yep.
So, and then, I don't know how we put I just kind of put the two parts together haphazardly. So hopefully it wasn't too bad and no one really noticed, but, I think it went okay.
It went okay. And the conversation was so worth it to hear both halves of it. So it was the best idea. Just squish them together and throw it out there.
Yep. Yep.
So good job by you, Editor Jay.
Oh shit. I didn't do anything. it was hard enough putting two different parts together. So I put the two parts together. I cut out the first part of the second half because we were just going over the same shit. So right. I cut that out and then put the two together, and then I do it on Audible. So I couldn't move the two parts over to get intro music in because I'm a fucking idiot and I don't know how it works. And I'm technically challenged to begin with.
Right.
So you don't have to agree so wholeheartedly, but
look, I am only 1% less technically challenged than you are.
So we didn't get any intro music because I just couldn't fucking figure it out. Yeah. To be honest, and I got frustrated. But anyway, Martin's the nicest guy in the world. He saved our asses. He
yes,
saved
he did.
the whole episode, the whole two episodes, and could not have been a nicer guy. And then said he'd be happy to come on again.
Cool.
Because that kind of guy. Such a professional. Just great to work with.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say enough about his professionalism. It was awesome. And oh my God, my life flashed before my eyes when we lost that first part, because I was so nervous getting this whole thing together. And first of all, Martin made it so easy because he talks to you like he's your best friend, like you're sitting in a pub having a pint or something. Just so that immediately relaxed me. Right off the bat. And then that it went bye-bye. It went poof, bye-bye. And shit, my life flashed before me. I thought, this is the worst fucking thing that's ever happened to me in my life. But anyway, it turned out good.
Yes, it did.
Shit.
All right. So shall we talk about this new Priest album? What's it called? Invisible Shieldio or something?
Yep. I think it's a character on one of those movies with the Captain America or something.
Oh yeah.
I don't watch any of those movies, but I'm old school. I just watch stupid shit. My dog's barking. I don't know if you could hear it.
Yeah.
Stupid dog. That dog is just, we won't go into that. I still feed him. So.
Not good.
But I'm getting other thoughts. Anyway, Invincible Shield. And as it turns out, Invincible Shield is doing really well for the Priest. It is their highest charting album of their career. And that's awesome album. Yeah, yeah.
Agreed. Overall, 9 out of 10. Not a 10 out of 10. That's Painkiller and Firepower for me. This is slightly below that. Probably my fifth best Priest album. But I am super impressed. I am loving it. I can't believe they put out... I mean, seriously, two of their last two albums are in my top five. That is fucking incredible for a band that's been around for 50 years.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, I love this record. Did a Twitter poll, and most people gave it 8 out of 10. So we're right on par. Yeah, I think it's a 9 out of 10 as well. So I'm pretty high on it. I like it better than Firepower.
That's bad.
Well, Firepower is kind of a I mean, it's a great album. It's one of my favorites. Not saying that, but it just seems like it was a little more workmanlike. I mean, it is a metal album.
Yeah.
They put out a good, solid, metal, workmanlike metal album. Yep. And it's awesome, and it works, and it's a great album. Nothing bad to say about it. But Invincible Shield, it just seems like they're having a lot more fun. It just seems like they explore a lot more avenues. They reach back to the old catalog in a lot of different ways.
It's a much more varied album than Firepower is. That there's no doubt about that. Why I don't like it as much is because I think there's too much calling back to 80s sound, more arena rock sound, whereas Firepower is a little more straightforward molten metal.
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of arena rock aspects in it. I could see what you're saying. Kind of Gates of Hell, Devil in Disguise, Sons of Thunder type things are kind of arena rock. But in all those songs mentioned, there are little twists and turns that I like that just makes this a little better than Firepower for me. A lot more freedom, I think. And the rhythm section on this album really stands out in the mix and the performance. And it just sounds like they're having a lot of fun. And I like the mix a little better than Firepower, even though they're very, very, very similar.
They are. The only thing that's different is Ian Hill's bass is much more noticeable on the new album. That's the only thing that I can see that's different. And so I would agree with you on that one point.
Right. And do you see the difference in Scott's drumming? Between this one and Firepower? I see a big difference.
Really?
Yeah. I just think he has a lot more freedom, I guess. A lot of different fills. It's Firepower is really structured. Like you said, it's a face-melting metal record. Boom, boom, boom. And this one, even on the fast songs, he's just playing a little, I could see subtle differences that give him a little more freedom.
I did not notice any of that. Next time I listen to it, I'll be paying much more attention to the drums.
Yeah, I love Scott. He's a great drummer, but he tends to be a little mechanical at times.
I've never felt that way. I love the hell out of Scott. His drumming is fantastic. The intro to Painkiller gives him God status from day one.
Scott the God.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richie's solos on this record, I think, are a lot more interesting and engaging than Firepower as well.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn did a lot on Firepower. And this is exclusively Richie. There's a difference there. But I think his solos are a lot more interesting, a lot more engaging in this record. And kind of, again, is having a little more fun, has a lot of freedom in what he's doing, I feel, on the solos. So
yeah. I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast with Martin, because I was literally just freaking out about the technical shit. But to me, Invincible Shield takes a lot of the aggression and the attacking nature of the music from Firepower, mellows it out a little bit with, tempers it with songwriting craft from the 80s. And it seems like Richie is more confident in his songwriting in a way that sounds more like Judas Priest, whereas he, in Firepower, seemed like he was just trying to write Painkiller Mark II.
Yeah, no, I totally can see that. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And which is one of the reasons I like Invincible Shield more. Just because
I need Painkiller Mark III next, so you know, I'll decide.
Well, you are notoriously not a 80s Priest fan.
Oh God, no.
Oh, we've lost Jeff.
No, I'm here. I'm here. Just keep talking.
Okay. If everyone can see what's going on here, I don't know what the hell he's doing.
I'm plugging in my computer.
I think there's a spider or something. Was there a spider?
Fuck that. God damn it.
Jumps out of his seat. Like, oh shit, what's going on with Jeff?
My computer was going to die. I had to plug it in.
He saw a piece of broccoli floating around or something. Shit, broccoli! Abort!
I had vegetables earlier. Maybe I just need to go take a shit.
Okay. Well, we'll finish up. Thanks for listening. Jeff, yeah. Take a shit. But I don't even know what we're saying. Anyway, love the record. I think it's the best since Defenders. I love Defenders.
You're saying that I'm noticeably an 80s hater.
Yes.
And that is absolutely 100% correct. There are elements of 80s Priest that are fantastic. There's just it when they went to the heavily commercial direction, the more mundane songwriting, the more typical stuff, I was uninterested in it. Now, even on their worst, well, besides Turbo, even on their most commercial albums, they would always have something amazing on it. It just needed to be found. So, yeah, that's what I have to say. And they didn't take the worst parts of the 80s on Invincible Shield. They took the good parts, just the good parts. So I'm right. Very, very happy with Invincible Shield.
Good, good, good. Yeah, I think everyone is. Like I said on Twitter, it got a 8 out of 10. And Martin said it was the best since his favorite, which is Hellbent for Leather, Killing Machine. So he's really high on it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he loves the 70s stuff, just like I do. So everyone's real, real high on it. And the public loves it. The highest charting record ever. Which is awesome. So we did a Twitter poll on the songs, a 4-part Twitter poll, 4 or 5-part. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing on Twitter. I am technically challenged. But anyway, song versus song versus song versus song. And the big winner, who do you think the people voted as their favorite song off the album?
My favorite of the singles was Serpent and the King, so I would say that was the winner.
Close. It was Panic Attack.
Okay.
Panic Attack beat Invincible Shield, the title track, by 1 point.
Huh.
So that's interesting.
I have Panic Attack 4th on my list of favorite songs off the album, and Invincible Shield is 7th.
Wow. Well, let's get into it. We didn't have time. Initially, we were going to go song by song with Martin, but then the fiasco happened, and that killed, it was probably a good, 20 minutes?
At least.
So, yeah, we were maybe a half hour. We were right up to his deadline. He had to go. So we had to make an executive decision and just not go, not delve as deeply into Invincible Shield as we wanted initially, but it is what it is. Technical shit happens. We're morons. So anyway, we're gonna just quickly go song by song, except for the 4 singles, because we've already talked about the 4 singles ad nauseum on the podcast. Everybody's heard them, you know, for months and months. So, Panic Attack, The Serpent and the King were already released. Panic Attack is everyone's favorite, according to this, you know, unscientific poll that we did. Who really knows? Anyway, well, the 3rd track is Invincible Shield. What do you think about Invincible Shield title track?
All right, so Invincible Shield, the title track, like I just said, it's the seventh on my list. So last night, listened to the entire album again and just jotted down some notes here and there. So on Invincible Shield, my notes were an incredible middle eight. The bridge to that fucking song is incredible.
Yes, best part of it.
It's not in the top half of songs for me on this album, which only shows how good this album is. If this is the seventh best song on an 11-track album, then the top six are fantastic. So,
yes.
This is the first of two songs that remind me a lot of Fight. I don't know why. I can't even tell you. But this song reminds me more. It has more of a 90s vibe. It sounds like Fight, not so much. It has that feel to me.
Interesting. I never would have thought that. I'm going to have to go back and listen again and see where he came to that conclusion. That's very interesting. Yeah, I like the song. Just like you, I didn't rank the songs, but just like you, it's not in the top five, I don't think, for me. But a great song nonetheless. Love the intro. Rhythm section really shines on this one. You can hear Ian really well. Song's kind of choppy at times, but really engaging. The riff is really engaging. Amazing solo.
That choppiness, that might be where I'm getting the Fight vibes from.
It could be.
It's a choppier riff. It's different palm muting than a normal Priest riff.
That's probably exactly where you're getting that Fight vibe from. Because I was thinking that I couldn't put my finger on it, so I just wrote down choppy. But I think now that, yeah, that rings a bell. So you're probably right on there. Kind of similar. The song is kind of similar to The Serpent and the King, I think. Mm-hmm. I think the first three songs could have been sequenced a little better. Because Panic Attack, Serpent and the King, right into Invincible Shield. I mean, they're all bangers. They all have somewhat similar tempos, so I think, you know, maybe if they would have maybe put, you know, Devil in Disguise at number three and then came back with Invincible Shield just to kind of break it up a little, but that's neither here nor there. That's just my feeling of it, the similarity between the first three songs. But then we do get into number four, Devil in Disguise, and this is one of my favorites on the record. The opening riff is great. Mid-tempo, great changes in the song, and again, the rhythm section really carries the song. Real catchy chorus, and this is one that maybe takes you back to the 80s. Was this one of them that you were thinking?
Oh, absolutely. This is my ninth favorite. This is ninth on my list. It is very 80s. I don't find it very memorable. You said catchy chorus? I can't tell you what the chorus sounds like right now. lyrically, it's very similar to Black Sabbath's TV Crimes. It doesn't have the venom that I want from a song that's attacking religious con men. You know, so that's my main problem with it.
Yeah, we're having some technical stuff here. Looks like our good friend
Kirsty Prince from Twitter is trying to join in.
From Perth. Yeah. Why is it not working?
I don't know.
We'd love to have Kirsty on. You're better at multitasking than me.
She's in the chat, but she's not on the video or in the call.
Oh, put her on. Are you chatting with her?
I'm trying.
Okay. Oh man, yeah, in the chat but not in the call. We love Kirsty, she's great. You can hear Kirsty on Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's a sweetheart, so we'll figure that out.
She says nah, fine, whatever.
Oh, come on.
Anybody who's listening to this, the next time we do a recording where it's just me and Jay, I'm gonna throw out a Skype link. Please, if you want to join in as we record, and you'll get on the podcast.
Yeah, cool. So she doesn't want to come on?
Nah.
Oh, boo, Kirsty.
She goes, sorry, I don't know anything about Judas Priest.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't at all.
Yeah, tell her to come on. Come on. Yeah. All right, so Gates of Hell, number 5.
Yeah.
This one, so,
Gates of Hell. Go for it.
No, I want to hear what you think, because I think it's another one that maybe harkens back to the 80s for you. Yeah.
So 80s. It is slightly better than Devil in Disguise for me. It does. This one has the memorable chorus. This one I could hum along with. This one actually feels more like a song that would be played in an arena, and it would go over so well, and it would be so heavy then. So if they play it live, I would probably enjoy the shit out of it. Lyrically, it lacks. It's not a very good lyrically song, and that's not a good song lyrically. And it is it about motorcycles or something? It's like the second of 3 songs or something that's about motorcycles, and I'm like, no. One per album, one every other album would be fine for me about songs about motorcycles.
I like it. I like the building intro. Great riff and a real driving rhythm, like you were saying. Not necessarily, I didn't write it necessarily thinking driving a motorcycle, but you know, a driving rhythm.
Yeah.
But it could mean both. Driving rhythm section. Great drum song. Scott really sounds good on this song for whatever reason. Interesting changes, especially the pre-chorus and the bridge. Very clean sounding solo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is very, a perfectly played solo. It is so nice.
Yes, very crisp. Good, nice backing vocals too, but a very crisp song. I think this is the crispest, is that even a word, song on the record. It's like, yeah. Like the back to the 80s on this one, but it's really crisp. And yeah, I really like this song.
So as I also as I was listening to it, I was noting down any lyrics that caught my attention. And so I've got lyrics for all but 2 songs that were like, hey, this, or all but 3 songs that, hey, these are good lyrics. Gates of Hell is one of the songs that did not have any lyrics that caught my attention. Crown of Horns was one of the other ones, and I despise that song. That's the worst song in the album. there was one other thing about, so you were talking about the sequencing. So we start off with 3 burners, Panic Attack, Serpent and the King, Invincible Shield, and then we go into 2 80s songs. I agree with you completely. Had you broken up the 3 burners with one and switch it around so you didn't have just a segment of burners than a segment of 80s, I would have been much happier.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. That was the first thing that jumped out at me. On the records, the sequencing. But what do we know? I mean, it seems to be working.
Hey, they make more shit ton more money than us, so
Yeah, everyone makes more money than me, but that's another story. And then we'll skip Crown of Horns, because we've already...
Like I do on the CD.
Yeah, there you go. As God Is My Witness, another burner.
Crushingly heavy. Oh, God, I love this song. So, God Is My Witness, I have as the 3rd best on the album.
Wow.
I think this song is fantastic. Yeah. This is the most emotionally heavy song on the album. This one crushes you. It crushes your soul.
Yeah, it does.
The chorus is incredibly catchy, and I find myself humming this song during the day.
Yeah, I figured you'd like this a lot because it really has kind of hard as iron Leather Rebel vibes to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, nothing really about this song excites me. It just seems like it's a rehashed, just regular straight up Priest banger. The lyrics, lyrically, it's real. That's the best part of the song is lyrically. But it seems like it's a Hard as Iron remake. It's seems like it's just fast for the sake of being fast. Doesn't really grab me for whatever reason. It's a great song. It's not, I don't skip it, But it just, it didn't grab me like all the other songs did. It just, it seems like it seems like a rehash to me for whatever reason. But it ranks kind of low. Of course, I didn't rank them. You should have told me we were ranking them, man. Anyway,
so on Gates of Hell, or not Gates of Hell, God's My Witness, if I can crush the nightmares of oblivion, that is a fantastic lyric. That is just perfect. That is Rob at its best.
Oh, I totally agree. Totally agree. The lyrics are by far the best part of the song. Then Trial by Fire, we've discussed. We have a whole episode about that. So into number 9, Escape from Reality. Take it away.
You go first on this one.
Okay.
We know this,
This is my favorite song on the record, bar none. Little doom in it. Little doom. Little 70s vibe. Little doomy, little 70s. Love Ian's bass sound. In this one, especially in the intro. Love the different effects on Rob's vocals. Kind of Aussie-ish. Sabbath-ish. Which goes with the whole theme of the song, because it's like a little doom song, and you hear, I think it's at 2:10 or whatever in the song. I don't remember what time, but if you close your eyes, you swear it's fucking Aussie.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. I love that part. Super heavy, even though it's kind of a mid-tempo song, it is super, super heavy. Doomy. Yeah. I think it's an instant classic. I think it's a top 3 reunion era song for me.
Oh yeah.
Love it. We could have a whole episode about it. Love Escape from Reality. My favorite song on the record.
We do completely agree. This is one of my favorite pre-songs ever. This is incredible. In my notes, 70s best song, Sabbath and Aussie sounding. So we're right on the same page on this one. This song is fantastic. Lyrically, it's also incredible. What felt right back then, I could never see. The foolish ways of my mistakes would come back to me. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, Rob still got it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the same page. We stole each other's notes, it seems like.
Yep.
Yeah, everything you said. Love the song. I can talk about this song for hours. Love it. So we go into Sons of Thunder.
All right, so now we're back to the 80s. Not very happy with this one. There's a couple cool parts on it. So I have Sons of Thunder as like 6, so it's a little bit better than Invincible Shield. Again, this is another arena rock song that, if played live, would probably be incredible.
Yeah.
Lyrically, it's a little weak. It has a great solo, and the call and response vocals actually like really did it for me. That hit me perfectly for this song. I love that part of it. That salvaged it for me.
Right. Yeah. Gang vocals, which Priest doesn't do a whole lot of. So. But it really works in this song. It's a good time, raise your fist in the air, ride your Harley through the desert, rock and roll song, you know?
God, like, is it another motor? Yeah, it is another motorcycle song.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus. It reminds me of like a heading out to the highway, rock hard, ride free type song, you know, motorcycle song. A freedom rocker. Freedom rock, dude. Yeah, simple, fun. And the simplicity works with it. It's, you know, a basic, like you said, 80s straight up basic song. But the way they work it, you know, with the gang vocals, Scott's drumming on this is perfect. It really carries the song for me. I really like it. For its simplicity, I really like it. It's in the top 5 for me. It just makes you feel happy, makes you throw your fist in the air and just a happy, good time rocker. So I really dig it.
I have it 6. We're basically on the same page. I was not meaning to shit on it too much. I really do enjoy the song.
Yeah, real good song. Love it. Giants in the Sky.
Eh. Literally, that's my feeling about it. It's lyrically has some really cool stuff on it. So as I'm listening to it, I actually got a bit of vibes of Elysian Fields by Megadeth. Just lyrically. So the sound of the music, alive in the cosmos, there's power in the air, the world is on fire, their engines blazing, they left us all they had. Just for some reason, it put me in the mind of Elysian Fields, where it's talking about the sons of Odin are hitting the Elysian Fields, whatever. It's just, I don't know why, it just, that's what I thought of. It's another arena rock song. It, again, this one was going to be better live. It was also a little bit forgettable. So I have this as 10th. And of all the, so 11 songs on the album, only 10 and 11 are songs that I would not be excited to listen to again. So Devil in Disguise is number 9. That's a good song. I'd listen to it anytime. Below that become Giants in the Sky and Crown of Horns. And I just don't want to listen to those two again. I have no excitement about them whatsoever.
You are wrong, sir.
Okay. Let me know why I'm wrong.
I just like it. The acoustic part in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That part's
little,
good.
Yeah. Little flamenco, Spanish little deal he does. Oh, that is so fucking good and so tight and so unexpected. It's the best part of the song. It's a mid-tempo rock. You're just rocking out, thinking about Dio and Lemmy and all that. And then all of a sudden just comes with that acoustic flamenco thing, you know. Oh man, so good, love that. And then after the acoustic part, it just doesn't skip a beat, just goes right into the riff, which I love.
That is also actually a good part. All right, so I might just, it might be 10 or 10, I'll listen to 10 of them, and you cannot change my mind about Crown of Horns. That's a piece of shit song.
Okay. Yeah, listen to Giants in the Sky again. That acoustic part goes right back into the riff. Mind blowing. And I think that acoustic part right into the riff is my favorite part of the whole record.
No shit. Okay.
Yeah. I love that part. Love it. Yeah. All right. Getting down to it. Fight of Your Life.
I didn't know we were doing the bonus tracks.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think I've listened to them once. None of them. The only one that stuck out to me was the shitty very last song from Bob Halligan. I forget what it's called.
Lodger.
Yeah, that one, that sucked. It has the Lodger is the name of one of my favorite Doctor Who episodes, and so I was kind of excited about it, and it has nothing to do with Doctor Who, and it, no, fuck that song.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I think it is what it is. I don't mind. I don't hate it. I don't love it. You know, it's another Bob Halligan Jr. deal. You know, I like Chains the best out of all the songs he's done. I dig Chains. Yeah, but this one kind of falls flat. Not needed. Anyway, a Fight of Your Life, good song. Bluesy intro, simple riff, but very effective, very uplifting song, both lyrically and musically. Rob uses about every trick in the book in this song, lyrically. Just another song that's effective in its simplicity, nothing special, but fun and enjoyable. And Vicious Circles, kind of a basic 80s type rocker. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard it, you probably thought that. Yeah, Vicious Circles, it's a good song, has a good tempo, real quick hitter. I think it's under 3 minutes. I kind of see why it's a bonus track. I think it's a song that would fit right on Screaming for Vengeance or Defenders. It'd fit right in there. Fun 80s rocker. Nothing to write home about, but not crap either. I like it. You know, basic 80s Priest. I dig it. And then we've talked about the Lodger. So, yeah, Jeff gave Invincible Shield a 9 out of 10. I think I'm right there with you, 9 out of 10. On Twitter, everybody kind of kind of the vibe was 8 out of 10. But hey, that was, I think I took that poll the first day it came out, so people may have had time to digest it. But yeah, overall, great record. Love it. Top 10 Priest record for me. I don't know exactly where I'd put it, but definitely a top 10. I like it better than Screaming for Vengeance. I like it better than Painkiller.
Sacrilege. So. That's blasphemy.
I know. I'm going to burn in hell.
Mm-hmm.
So Priest is on the road, and you get your basic, you know, Another Thing Coming, Metal Gods, Breaking the Law, you know,
How
Turbo
Dare You,
Lover.
The Metal Gods in with those other two songs.
Yeah,
Metal Gods is a fantastic song. The other two, I wouldn't mind not ever hearing again.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying that these are the songs that are on every show.
Right.
You know, Hellbent for Leather, Living After Midnight. So nothing really on the first night in Glasgow. Nothing really crazy. They played some songs from Invincible Shield. They played Panic Attack, Trial by Fire, title track Invincible Shield. I think that's it. But a highlight, I think, on the opening night was Rapid Fire. Love mm-hmm. Rapid Fire. They played that right after Panic Attack, so you're getting two bangers right out of the gate. And Beyond the Realms of Death. Love Ooh. Beyond the Realms of Death. Yes.
When's the last time they put that on the set list? Was that on the 50th, 50
I think
heavy
so.
Metal
yeah.
years?
Yeah. It's usually, you know, on every tour.
Okay.
Maybe not every night, but they usually bring it out because it's a fucking banger. Second night in Leeds. No Rapid Fire. Of course, they open with Panic Attack and your same, you know, Another Thing Coming. Oh, they did have Rapid Fire. I'm sorry. They didn't have Beyond the Realms of Death on the second night. But, you know, your basic Breaking the Law, you got Another Thing Coming. You know, Turbo Lover, Metal Gods. Same old, same old. Except this time they played Electric Eye as the first coming into the encore. Played Electric Eye. Oh, and another thing, Saints in Hell. They played Saints in Hell every night, all three nights.
Okay.
Which Saints in Hell is a fucking banger. Love
yes,
Saints in
is.
Hell. And Rob surprisingly does a pretty good job because that's a hard vocal to sing, Saints in yeah. Hell, with that high register. So, yeah, those are some of the highlights. Electric Eye on the second night. In Leeds, and then in good old Dublin, got your basics, but they pulled out Sword of Damocles, which they've never played before.
Holy shit!
Yeah, yeah. So, and I have not seen a video of it. I don't think, but I'd love to. Sword of Damocles is a great song from an average record, but a great song from that record. So that is really cool that they pulled that out. Excuse me. And Sinner. They pulled out Sinner on they played at 11th. They haven't played Sinner live since 2019. And I did see a video of that. Fan fucking tastic. Although the solo, you know, usually KK really expands on that. It's different every night. You know, he gets his whammy going and all that. The solo, excuse me, was kind of short, kind of disappointing, actually, in the video I saw. And I don't know if they did that on purpose. Or
trying to cut out a little bit of excess so they can get another song or two in.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. But I love the expanded Sinner solo. And it just didn't happen. That's fine. You don't have to be old to be wise. They pulled that out. Haven't played that since 2009. Yeah, 2009. So that's really cool. And then Electric Eye. They played Electric Eye again.
I could hear that song over and over again. I love Electric Eye.
Yeah, great song. So no Victim of Changes in Dublin, unfortunately. No Beyond the Realms of Death. They only played Beyond the Realms of Death opening night. But yeah, so you have your 10 staples, and then different songs coming in and out. And I think that's great. You know, a lot of bands, I know Iron Maiden does this a lot, just has their set list set in stone, play the same set list every night. That's kind of a bummer drag, man. I like what Priest is doing here. There's three or four songs that come in and out of the set list, kind of keep you on your toes.
Yep. So,
really cool. Happy with it. And Rob doesn't sound too bad. I mean, you could hear his age creeping up on him. Uh-huh. But, you know, the tour just started. I'm sure he'll get into the rhythm of things. He doesn't sound bad by any means. Sounds great. Sounds great. It's just, you know, it's not 80s Rob anymore.
Thank God.
Cuts cuts you know, the high notes a little short, like Victim of Changes. He really cuts that a little short on some of those notes. But it's still like Rob.
Yeah, every now and then he throws in an actual growl, like a death metal growl. So
yes, yeah.
I find that to be a fascinating way of accommodating his advancing age and more fragile voice.
Right.
It's ever so slightly more fragile voice. Limited.
Ever so slightly, yeah. So yeah, the growl is awesome. He started that a couple tours ago, I noticed, and I think it works really well. Love it. So, yeah, as of this recording, there have been three shows, and we kind of hit the highlights on that. Yeah.
Yep.
So, anything else going on?
No, I think that's good. Yeah. So, Sweet. Thank you to George and Hattie for letting us have this podcast. And you have the rest of the... Oh, listen to George's new podcast, Metal Planet. Fantastic. Listen to it. Listen to Fergal from Feckin' Metal, because that podcast is absolutely rad. Listen to Quinn from And Volume 4 All. That is, he's got two episodes and I've been out recently, and I've been saving them for the drive up to Atlanta, but I'm not sure I can hold out that long.
No, you can't, dude. You have to listen. They are so fucking good.
Ugh, God damn it. All right.
You have to listen.
They're going on tonight.
Quinn is so fucking good.
Yeah.
Excellent. So yeah, that is our review of Invincible Shield a little bit. So we'd like to thank the Deep Dive Podcast Network. Thank Martin Popoff and Rob Halford. And we want to thank all of you for listening to the Priestcast, and always keep defending the faith.